All right, get ready, because today we're diving deep into a case that's basically a legal thriller, McConnell v. FEC.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
It is, trust me. We're talking about the world of campaign finance and how it bumps up against the First Amendment.
I can see how that could get dramatic. Free speech and elections, that's a potent mix.
Right. It's like, who gets to say what, when, and how much? And are the rules of the game fair?
Big questions, for sure.
So to really get McConnell, we got to rewind back to the early 2000s.
Okay, setting the scene.
Congress passes this law, the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, or BCRA. It's also known as McCain-Feingold.
McCain-Feingold, that rings a bell. Trying to shake things up in the campaign finance world.
Exactly. And one of its biggest targets was this thing called soft money.
Soft money. Okay, for those of us who don't live and breathe campaign finance law, what's that all about?
Imagine a big party, right?
Yeah.
There are rules about how much each guest can chip in for expenses.
Makes sense. Keeps things fair.
Soft money was kind of like finding a loophole, sneaking in extra cash without technically breaking those rules.
Ah, so like a backdoor for funding. Clever.
Exactly. BCRA was like, nope, shutting that down. No more unlimited donations to parties for stuff that wasn't specifically federal.
Makes sense. But BCRA didn't stop there, did it? I'm vaguely remembering something about restrictions on political ads, too.
You're right. It went after electioneering communications next. Those ads that pop up everywhere right before an election, trying to sway voters, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Those ones that don't exactly say vote for so-and-so, but you know what they're getting at.
Exactly. So the law tightened the reins on those, especially ones mentioning candidates close to an election.
So trying to keep the playing field level right before the big game.
Right. Like saying, okay, you can't just drown out all the other voices with a flood of last-minute ads.
Makes sense.
Plus, BCRA also boosted the limits on hard money, those direct donations to candidates. And they demanded more transparency. Like, who's giving the money? Where's it going?
Ah, trying to shine a light on the whole process, make sure everything's above board.
Exactly. So BCRA was this big swing at cleaning up campaign finance, trying to level the playing field. But not everyone was on board. Enter stage right, Senator Mitch McConnell.
Ah, this is where things get interesting.
Yep. McConnell and a bunch of others filed suit claiming BCRA was unconstitutional.
On what grounds?
They said it trampled on their First Amendment rights, mm-hmm. especially free speech and association. They argued that it went way too far in restricting political expression.
Oh, so now it's a showdown, Congress's power to regulate elections versus the fundamental right to free speech.
Exactly. And this wasn't a minor squabble. This thing went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow, straight to the top.
And it wasn't even a straight shot there. A district court gave a split decision, agreeing with some parts of the challenge and disagreeing with others.
A split decision, so they were kind of torn themselves.
Yeah, pretty unusual. And that meant the case got fast-tracked to the Supreme Court.
So this case was already making waves before it even got to the highest court. High stakes.
Totally. So now everyone's watching, wondering how the Supreme Court will rule. What are the big constitutional questions they have to untangle?
Okay, lay it on me. What's the crux of the matter?
At the heart of McConnell v. FEC were two main issues.
All right. Issue number one.
Did BCRA's restrictions on soft money actually step on the First Amendment right to free speech and association?
Interesting. So could the government really limit how much people could give to parties, even if that money wasn't going straight to a candidate's campaign?
Right. Because, I mean, donating to a party, it's like saying, I support what you stand for. It's a way to express your political views.
Exactly. And the folks challenging the law argued that limiting these donations was basically silencing people, like preventing citizens from joining forces to support the causes they believe in.
So it's not just about individual speech. It's about collective action, too. What was the other big issue the court had to grapple with? Okay, so the second issue was all about whether BCRA's definition of electioneering communications was, well, too fuzzy.
Ah, those ads we were talking about. The ones that mention a candidate but don't explicitly tell you to vote for or against them.
Yep, those ones. The concern was that the definition was so broad it could end up catching legitimate issue advocacy in its net.
Oh, I see. So groups might be hesitant to speak out on important matters, worried they'd accidentally trip over those rules.
Exactly. It's like trying to navigate a minefield one wrong step and boom, you're in trouble.
Definitely makes it a bit tricky to participate in the political process if you're constantly worried about crossing some invisible line.
And that's what the challengers argued, right? That this vagueness had a chilling effect on free speech. People might hold back, censor themselves, because they're afraid of getting slapped with those restrictions.
Self-censorship, yeah, that's a big concern when we're talking about free speech. So we've got these two big constitutional questions at the heart of McConnell. What did the Supreme Court ultimately decide? Did they side with free speech or with the campaign finance regulations?
Well, it was a close one, a 5-4 decision, but the court mostly sided with BCRA. They upheld its key provisions. But the way they got there, the reasoning, that's where things get interesting.
Okay, I'm all ears. Spill the tea. What about those soft money restrictions? How did they justify upholding those?
So for that part, they used this standard called closely drawn scrutiny.
Closely drawn scrutiny, huh? That sounds intense.
It is. It's like a legal balancing act. Basically, the court said, look, we get it. These restrictions do put a bit of a damper on First Amendment rights. But the government also has a super strong interest in preventing corruption, or even just the appearance of corruption, in our elections.
So they're acknowledging that there's this trade-off, right? Limiting some political speech to protect the system itself. But how did they back that up?
They pointed back to a landmark case from way back in 1976, Buckley v. Valeo.
Buckley v. Valeo. Okay, vaguely ringing a bell. Remind me what that was all about.
Well, that case made this crucial distinction between contributions and expenditures.
Contributions versus expenditures. Got it.
Right. Contributions, like when you donate directly to a candidate or a party, those are seen as more risky in terms of corruption.
Yeah.
Because they create this direct link between the donor and the recipient.
Makes sense. It's like, here's some money, now do this for me.
Exactly. But expenditures, things like spending your own money on independent political ads, those aren't given directly to a candidate.
Yeah.
So they're seen as more protected under the First Amendment.
Ah, so it's like contributions are more about potentially buying influence, while expenditures are more about just expressing your own views.
Exactly. And that distinction became super important in the McConnell ruling. The court basically said that preventing corruption, or even just the appearance of corruption, that's a strong enough reason to put limits on those soft money contributions.
Okay, so they upheld the soft money ban. But what about those electioneering communications restrictions? Did those pass muster too?
Yep, those got upheld as well. The court said that BCRA's definition of electioneering communications, you know, those ads that don't directly say vote for or vote against, it was clear enough to actually be enforced.
But didn't we say earlier that the challengers argued it was too vague, that it could stifle legitimate speech?
They did, but the court wasn't convinced. They basically said the definition was specific enough to catch those sneaky ads that are really just campaign ads in disguise, trying to skirt the rules and flood the airwaves with thinly veiled endorsements or attacks.
Ah, so the court's saying, nice try, but we see what you're doing there. They're trying to close that loophole and make sure those spending limits actually work.
Exactly. But here's a twist. The court did strike down one part of BCRA, the ban on contributions from minors.
Whoa, really? That's interesting. Why would they object to that? Seems like a pretty minor thing.
Right. Well, the court basically said this ban wasn't really related to concerns about corruption. It's like they were saying, look, we understand you're trying to clean things up, but this rule just goes too far. Teenagers donating small amounts of money, they aren't exactly masterminds of political corruption.
So it was kind of a check on Congress's power. Like, hey, we're sympathetic to your goals, but you can't just restrict political speech without a solid reason.
Exactly. And that's what makes this case so fascinating. It's not black and white. There's a lot of nuance. It's about finding that balance between free speech and campaign finance. And the court's always trying to figure out where to draw that line.
Always walking that tightrope.
Right. But remember, this was a 5-4 decision, so there were some strong disagreements among the justices. Let's hear from the dissenters. What were their main gripes about BCRA?
Yeah, the dissents are where things get spicy. We've got some passionate arguments here that really make us think hard about what happens when you start limiting political speech, even if you have good intentions.
I'm ready for the drama. Lay it on me.
Yeah.
Let's start with Justice Kennedy. What were his main points of disagreement?
Justice Kennedy, he was worried that BCRA went too far, you know, that it was mixing up genuine corruption with just like normal political engagement.
So he's saying that just because some folks or groups have deeper pockets for politics doesn't automatically equal corruption.
Right, exactly. It's natural for different voices to have different levels of influence, right? That's part of how a democracy works.
Makes sense. Trying to prevent undue influence without totally squashing legitimate political speech, it's a tough needle to thread. What about Justice Scalia? He usually doesn't hold back.
Oh, Justice Scalia did not disappoint. He basically accused the majority of using this, like, fake anti-corruption rationale.
Oh, snap. Shots fired.
Yeah, he implied that BCRA wasn't really about protecting elections, but more about protecting those already in power. You know, the incumbents.
So his argument is that BCRA could actually make things less democratic by, like, cementing the status quo, making it harder for newcomers to get a foothold.
Exactly. He saw these campaign finance rules as potentially backfiring, you know, creating these unintended consequences that could actually harm the very democracy they were supposed to protect.
Okay, so we've got Kennedy worried about overreach and Scalia concerned about incumbency protection. Did any of the other dissenting justices bring up different concerns?
Chief Justice Rehnquist, he really honed in on that ban on contributions from minors. He just didn't see the connection to corruption.
Yeah, it does seem a little random.
Right. He called it arbitrary, unnecessary. Like, where's the evidence that teenagers are throwing elections with their allowance money?
Exactly.
He saw it as an overreach, you know, targeting a group that really wasn't a threat to the system. And Justice Thomas actually agreed with Rehnquist on this point, which shows how skeptical they both were about how far BCRA was reaching.
Interesting. So did Justice Thomas have any bigger picture criticisms of the whole case or of campaign finance regulation in general?
Justice Thomas. He went for a much more fundamental approach. He argued that the court should use a tougher standard of review for all campaign finance laws, not just the ones dealing with expenditures.
Okay, so he's saying any law that restricts political speech should have to clear a higher bar.
Exactly. For Justice Thomas, those First Amendment protections, those are sacred. He was really worried about that chilling effect we were talking about, even when those regulations are well-intentioned.
So we've got this real clash of perspectives here. The majority trying to find that balance between free speech and fair elections, and the dissenters raising some serious red flags about BCRA's potential downsides. But how did all of this play out in the real world? What lasting impact did McConnell have?
Well, right after the decision, DCRA survived the challenge. It remained the law of the land, and its provisions definitely had an effect on how campaigns were financed. But it's important to remember that this was just one battle in a much bigger war.
Right. Because the fight over money in politics, it never really ends, does it?
Nope. It's constantly evolving. McConnell v. FEC was a big win for campaign finance reform at the time, but it wasn't the final word. There have been other court cases since then, most notably Citizens United v. FEC in 2010, that have chipped away at some of BCRA's key provisions, especially the ones about how corporations and unions can spend money in elections.
So the legal landscape is constantly shifting and the rules of the game keep changing.
Exactly. And that's the thing about campaign finance law. It's always being debated, challenged, redefined. But even though some of the specific rules from BCRA have been weakened or overturned, McConnell established a really important principle that still shapes the debate today.
Okay, I'm ready to add this to my mental legal encyclopedia. What's that principle?
McConnell established that it's generally okay to have limits on contributions, those rules that control how much individuals and groups can donate directly to candidates or parties, as long as those limits aim to prevent corruption.
So the government can basically say, hey, we're worried about undue influence, so we're putting a cap on how much money you can give to a candidate. And the courts will probably be okay with that.
Right, as long as those limits are reasonable and they can show that they're really serving that government interest. But the court also said that limits on how that money is spent in elections, especially on independent expenditures, those face a much higher burden of proof.
It's kind of like you can limit how much everyone brings to the party, but you can't tell them how to spend it once they're there.
Perfect analogy. And that difference between contributions and expenditures, it's been this major battleground in the campaign finance arena ever since Buckley first outlined it and McConnell reinforced it.
It's wild how much rides on these tiny details, these little nuances in campaign finance law. And it makes you think, how do we even define corruption? Is it just about those straight up quid pro quo situations where money is exchanged for political favors? Or is it something bigger, like how money can warp the whole political process, even if it's not technically illegal?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? McConnell v. FEC might seem like a blast from the past, but it's still influencing how we think about free speech and fair elections today. It's a reminder that this debate is far from settled and that the rules of the game are always in flux. So where would you draw the line if you could rewrite the rules? Something to think about as we navigate this ever-changing landscape.
For sure. McConnell v. FEC really drives home the point that the law isn't some fixed thing. It's constantly evolving, shaped by society, court decisions, and what citizens and lawmakers do. We all have a role to play in grappling with these issues, thinking critically about how to balance free speech and fair elections, and fighting for the kind of democracy we want to see.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into McConnell v. FEC. Hope you found it insightful.